Welcome to the AXA XL Healthcare Risk Insights Podcast. I am your host, Carla George, Senior Claims Specialist at AXA XL in Bermuda. On this podcast, we will discuss the importance of the insurer and insured relationship and what is key to maintaining that relationship. With me today, I have Steve Reed, who is the current Chief Legal Officer of BrightSpring Health Services. He leads the legal department by proactively collaborating with all departments within BrightSpring for higher quality and stronger compliance while driving optimal resolution of legal and regulatory matters. Prior to his role, Steve held positions with Reed Wicker, PLLC, and as U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Kentucky. Previously, he served on the board of the University of Kentucky and is on the Professional Ethics Executive Committee for American Institute of CPAs. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve, being a large healthcare system with various services, it would be evident that your primary concern or focus would include providing the best service and care to your clients and your patients. I would imagine to adequately meet these needs, it is equally important that healthcare systems strategically ensure their risk and their potential losses associated with these services and care that you provide. With this in mind, what key areas does a healthcare system of your size take into consideration when choosing an insurance provider?
That's a great question, and the point is well taken because there is an obvious merger, or at least it's obvious to me, but perhaps maybe not to someone on the outside, that there's a merger of the interests of the company and the quality of services we provide to the clients we serve. So let me explain it this way quickly. Imagine if we are providing poor services. Not only are the clients being harmed, we are incurring and increasing our own legal risk, our cost and litigation risk that would come from poor services and poor quality, both from regulators as well as plaintiff's lawyers. It would also be detrimental not only to our bottom line, it would be detrimental to the client's quality of services. It would be detrimental to, obviously, the insurer, because as you insure us and cover us, we would have increased litigation and we would have increased costs from poor services. So there is a merger where it all comes together, and that's the way it should be in the marketplace for there to be a centralized or common interest of well-being for the insurer, the insured, and the clients that we serve.
So it would be safe to say that you also take into consideration your 60,000 plus clients when selecting your carrier.
Yes, it is. It's very important because when we provide services and continue in the industry, continue providing the services we do, I have to take into account plaintiff's lawyers. I have to take into account regulators. I have to take into account laws, obviously, and regulations. And at the same time, I have to take into account the operational success of the enterprise. So there's a lot of balancing that goes on. And one of the things that's important to me is I try to bridge all of these factors and bring them all together. When I minimize risk, it is important for me to have a great relationship with the insurer, because at the end of the day, when inevitably something goes wrong and we need assistance and we need help, we need support, namely insurance, I need that relationship. I need that relationship for me to be comforted to know that when the storm hits, as it will do sometimes when mishaps happen, that my back is covered. And that's why that determination should be made in advance. That reassurance should be made in advance, that comfort level should be made in advance. So selection and partnering with the insurer is very, very, very important.
And like with most relationships, they can be quite easy to get into, but maintaining them is where the actual magic happens. Could you list at least three top areas that a healthcare system such as yourselves find attractive in their insurer to keep that relationship on a long-term basis?
The number one thing for me is trust, predictability, and confidence. It all rolls up to trust. The way it plays out for me as general counsel or chief legal officer is this. When something bad has unfortunately happened, there's been a tragedy, unforeseeable or otherwise, and there's going to be a very costly consequence. At this point, management is asking me, the CEO is asking me to quantify it, and the board is asking me to quantify it. What is the risk? What is the measure, the magnitude of it? At this point, my partner relationship with the insurer is very critical because I have to partner with the insurer to measure and determine what that risk is so that I can properly communicate it to the CEO and to the board. And then so that we can, therefore, going forward, have better predictors. It's important to the shareholders. And the reason it's important to the shareholders and the owners is because, again, if the CEO and the CFO and the board and the owners cannot assess and value what that risk is and whether I can control it this time or next time, it creates unpredictability. And unpredictability creates instability that's not good for anyone. And it will cause people to flee and go to a company where there is stability. And that stability is very important. And if I cannot get that stability from anyone, whether it's counsel, whether it is with a teammate, or whether it is even with the insurer, then it puts me in a bad position where I have to go elsewhere. So the number one thing I look for to your question is trust, and trust that the insurer is reliable, trust that the insurer will be a great partner with me, that we have common interest, that we are aligned, that we're in this together, and that at the end of the day, when the storm passes, if you will, that we will stand together after the storm as well as we did even before and during the storm. So trust is critical, is the main thing for me.
That's perfect. We find that most excess insurers are exposed to numerous and various claims and large losses in any given year spread across the client base. While insureds may experience one large loss every 5 years or even more than that, we have heard in the past from our insureds that they benefit most from their insurers when they are able to freely come to their insurer for advice or use the expertise they may have access to when dealing with difficult claims. Have you experienced this? And if so, in what areas have your insurers been most beneficial?
I have experienced that. I've experienced it directly, and it has been beneficial. One of the benefits of the relationship is common communication, not just about an individual mishap or an individual crisis. I think that to the extent communication is limited to the discussion of a crisis where I need your help, you need to let me know, and I need to let you know about a crisis to have you to cover it. I think that's necessary, but it's unlimited and it's unfortunate. The best communication is one that obviously does that. So we must cover the crises, the emergencies that must be covered, of course. But the best communication in the relationship goes beyond that. It goes beyond that so that there's an understanding of information. There's a sharing of information. There's a sharing of knowledge and experience. And to your point, you're going to have insight into incidents and emergencies that extend beyond me and precede me. I precede my company. To the extent that I can hear about these emergencies, I learn from them. I can then be engaged in more preventative measures at my own company. It was a couple of years ago that I learned about a new area of litigation. And this new area of litigation was not something that my company had experienced, but it had developed, it was developing in another part of the country. And I learned about it from my insurer. My insurer asked us, had we ever encountered this? I said, no. And they explained how it was emerging in a certain area of the country. I went back and looked into it and saw that we did business in that geographical region and that we did business in a similar line of business across the country. Knowing how plaintiff's lawyers work and knowing how legislative bodies work, I knew it was only a matter of time before the success by the plaintiff's lawyer in that one specific region would transcend to other regions and would sweep across the country. That allowed me to be preventative and start changing our policies proactively to prepare for it. And it is that lesson and that information that I learned actually on a visit with my insurer where we were talking beyond just the actual claims and cases that I had with the insurer, but where we were just talking about general trends, general things going on and both trying to be long-sighted and be predictive. That I learned of this information that I think made us a better company and furthered the relationship between the two of us. And it helped me. And it also, obviously, to the extent that it allowed me to be more preventative, helped the insurer and the clients.
The use of expertise is reciprocal from the insurer end, as we found that our partners have risk managers or general counsel that are extremely useful, especially in the areas of state legislation, tort reform, or the effects of the political environment on either the legislature or regulatory enforcement. So I wanted to make that clear that it wasn't just the insurer providing these expertise, but also we found that when we partner well, we're able to easily access risk managers or even general counsel or outside counsel that are able to assist us in areas that we may not necessarily have insight to simply because we are not either within that state or jurisdiction. Steve, you speak of trust with the insurer to protect the interests of the board and the shareholders, but how does it reflect when you talk about protecting the interests of the insurer and the insured relationship?
Great question, Carla. Great question. And that may actually be the most important foundational question of trust that you've asked, even more so than the board and the shareholders. And it goes like this. I have noticed that the closer relationship I have with the insurer, the more I trust the insurer, rely on the insurer, and protect the insurer. And in my experience in having an antagonistic relationship with plaintiff's counsel often try to drive a wedge between the insured and the insurer, hoping that I no longer fight for the interests of the insurer, hoping that I give up on have no concern about the insurer. And therefore, it allows the plaintiff's counsel to tap into those resources and seek more recovery from the insurer and obtain more money. I've noticed that, for instance, plaintiff's counsel often try to find out the level of coverage. And once they find out the level of coverage, they will even come to me and say, well, what do you care anymore? It's just the insurance company's money at this point. You should have no interest in this. You know, you don't need to continue fighting. I've heard that indirectly. I've heard it directly. I've heard it from mediators. I've heard it from plaintiff's counsel. But I do care. I do care when I have a trusting relationship with anyone, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's my insurer. If I have a trusting relationship with someone, I'm more apt to fight for them. I'm more apt to defend their interests because their interests are aligned with my interests. And the stronger the trust, the stronger the alignment and the stronger my fight to defend the interests of the insurer, even if it does, even if I paid out all of my money, and even if it is about to encroach into the level of the insurer, I fight like everything to fight for every dollar to stop that from happening. And I do not give up the fight any more so than I would if it's their money, the insurer's money, or my own money. And that's all grounded back to the central element of trust.
Steve, I want to thank you for giving some insight and almost kind of making the insurer reflect, putting the mirror up to ourselves and to see, you know, just if there are any areas that we can be better and better service our clients or insureds. And thank you for just even providing that insight. Thank you for listening to the AXA XL Healthcare Risk Insights podcast. Please subscribe to stay tuned for future podcasts where we will dive into other current and developing risks impacting the healthcare industry.